Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, A Wonderful Approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and this is A Wonderful Approach Radio. I am so glad to be here this day. Survived another Wednesday, okay? This is another day of fasting, a day of prayer, a day of shrine duty. I hope everyone took the time to take care of, you know, get those extra prayers in. Spend some time with yourself journaling, getting yourself ready for this day, this moment, this upcoming weekend, this everything. It is the season, family. Tis the season. And I would love to say, oh, this is a sweet, loving holiday for everyone. Everyone's happy and joyous and everything like that. I wish I could say that, but I can't really. And because it's not all happy, happy joy everywhere. And so there are some people where holidays spend a lot of time thinking about loved ones that are no longer here. this is the shoulda, woulda, coulda time. We're rounding out a really hard year. This is a rough one, family. So as we're all getting ready for the ending of this moment and the beginning of the next, you know, we have some things to think about. We have some reflecting to do. We have some soul searching to do. There are some things we got to get through. So I'm just glad that we're all here together on this Wednesday trying to make this happen, okay? This is what we do. We come together and try to find spiritual answers to our everyday carnal problems, because the problems are here. They're here, they're strong, they're present, and we have to find some answers for them that are going to have us pulling on something higher than where we are, you know. And so every year, and there's all kinds of New Year's, it's Chinese New Year's. I have a dear new friend that's in China. And so they're going through their Chinese New Year. There's winter solstice. There's all kinds of endings and beginnings occurring right here. And so as we are going through thinking about what our endings are and what our beginnings are, I wanted to kind of go through this happiness idea and really kind of looking at the nuts and bolts of it. You know, one thing about Mama Seven, I'm really honest with you. I'm super transparent. We're going to get to the truth because the truth is going to help us to be able to assess the problem and then turn around and get a solution for the problem. But before we get into the pursuit of happiness, before I bring on my co-host for the night, I wanted to talk about the super show we had last week, Detox, Spiritual and Mental Detox. It was phenomenal. We had our little one, Miss Nicole, Healing Through Experiences on, and it was a wonderful opportunity to really go through and to think about what we're going through. What do we need to detox from? What do we need to take away? What are we ODing? Okay, we're always, as a society, we're always going too far on so many things, and so we have to be able to look clearly at ourselves, see what we're doing that we're not supposed to be doing, and make some adjustments. So this is where we are. This is where we are as we're looking forward into going into our new year. So I just wanted everybody, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, we have some really strong pointers in that show for those that are trying to really start this thing right for 2021. Let me tell you, I don't care what's on the other side of 2020, I'm ready for 2021, and I mean that. You know, I'm not trying to challenge the universe, be clear. At the same time, I am ready for the new. You know, I'm ready to restart this. I'm ready to be that new, want that new, ready to move on in my life. So, you know, this is where we are, and I'm glad to have been here because all of us didn't make it to this point. Everyone's future is not this clear and not this positive. Everybody doesn't have the resources that we have with each other. So this is a wonderful opportunity for us to get our mind right before we get ready to tackle what is new for us in 2021. And I don't think that is going to be we wake up with superpowers. You know, I don't think it's going to be a situation where, you know, the clock ticks over and then everything kind of just washes away like a bad dream. I really think that we're going to have to still put a lot of energy and effort and focus into it. So pay attention to, you know, the radio we have coming up over the next couple of days. You know, tomorrow we'll be with Deja Cafe as our dear sister Khadija Evans is going to be doing her networking Thursday at 7. And then we always do a praying in the new year and everything like that. So, you know, depending on your personal plans, make plans to be with us so we can get some praying in and we can get some encouraging in. So the phone lines are absolutely full. I guess this is an awesome topic, the pursuit of happiness. I'm super psyched about this. If I can get my co-host to press 1, that would be wonderful. And we can get this party started. Gotcha. So, let's see here. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. May peace be upon you.
Ah, Brother Ibrahim, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. Super pumped about being invited on, co-hosting with you tonight. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And
absolutely.
It's an awesome topic.
Yeah. I have to say so myself. And this topic started, what, a week and a half ago? Just every time we were touching base, we were talking about the greatness of something, the bigness of, you know, having that wonderful space and opportunity and everything like that. And so it just kind of blossomed from there. Then it was like every day people were talking about this happiness and finding that place of happiness. So it's really been lingering all week. Tell me how this topic hit you this week before we even got on the air.
Listen, I'm going to tell you how it hit me. And first, let me get anybody who knows me. So I, you know, knows I'm like to deal with the sciences of a thing. So let me give that disclaimer now. I'm going to probably be dealing with the sciences of a thing and how a wonderful approach gave me the formula to arrive at some of the conclusions that I've arrived at spiritually. So we talk about the pursuit of happiness. One of the things I want to say out here, for those students of a wonderful approach, you know about base spiritual language. For those who aren't in the know, I'll give just a little topic, just a little bit about that. Base spiritual language just simply means the religion or the way that you grew up with that you're familiar. That God usually will communicate with you through this way, not necessarily how someone taught you how to understand it, but the words, the phrasing and all of that may be the same. So with that said, we talk about the pursuit of happiness. Here's what got me, Sister Seven, was I think that's the biggest trick of the devil, is to always have us pursuing happiness, always have us chasing a happiness. When happiness, I think what a wonderful approach has taught me, that happiness is with God. But, you know, God is ultimately the happiness. And there I mean that spiritual language. When I say God, my definition of God is intensive, positive, good. Intensive, positive energy. All that is just right. The source of all things that are. You know, and God is a way that we all understand it. And some of us even get more specific in naming it. But when you look to all that is good and start trying to modify yourself to receive all that is good, then that's where the happiness lies. I think the process can be a beast. You know what I'm saying? But I think when we run and chase something that is already there, that's just it's like the donkey chasing the carrot at the end of a stick. We already possess everything. We already possess everything that it takes to have happiness. And not to be long-winded, here's one of the reasons I say it, to go back again, spiritual language, in the story of our father Adam. You know, here you have this creation, this wonderful creation. And my understanding of why he was, the reasons Adam was created, with all of these senses and abilities and everything is good to human beings on the planet Earth, is because it is the vehicle to house the Spirit of God. How awesome. Out of all the creation, sun, moon, stars, trees, birds, cats, water, God chose our father Adam, therefore, through proxy and everything, us, you know what I'm saying, to house his Spirit. So when we get in here and we do the right thing, we live in a balance with God, then we find that happiness, we find that contentment, we find that peace. When we're unbalanced, still the same body, still all the sensations, still all the ability to take everything in and to experience it, it's just God is not in there now. So what energy, is it experiencing everything that you go through? And who is it that's telling you that what God has you isn't sufficient? Isn't that what negative energy did, also known as the devil, in our spiritual garden? He said what God had for you wasn't sufficient. And you walked and communed with God. In the Quran, he says, I remember when we created this. Who is the we? I like to believe it's you and I. And I think in the Christian Science, he says, who shall I say sent me? He says, I am. So here you communed with God, and someone told you that there was something better. We pursued that, lost this station, and when we got with God, we were shamed. And God said, who told you were naked? Who told you were insufficient? Who told you were small? Mm-hmm. Who told you you were weak? Who told you were naked? Pursuing something that you didn't think was with you. So that is my take on the pursuit of happiness. I hope I didn't get too long with it.
No. This is the pleasure of the co-host. You know, we go in and out. We go in and out. And, you know, at A Wonderful Approach, we're always the teacher, always the student, each of us, you know. Mm. And so we're always, you know, that's why I do my shows with pen and paper, because someone's always going to let me know something and teach me something, and I look forward to it. I know when it comes to the pursuit of happiness, I think it is an absolute natural understanding for us to pursue. I think humans, we live to look for, we look to pioneer. You know, that's part of that's part of our blessings. That's part, you can call it part of the curse, part of the challenge, whatever you want to call it. You know, we're always looking to pursue. We want something more. We want to understand things. We want to see things grow, see things bloom. And so that's a big part of who we are. And so to pursue the happiness, or want to pursue the happiness, we're always going to be looking for those opportunities to look for and to be more. But I think the one thing that you did say that I know this for a fact, is that the happiness has to be within us. We have to be looking for a piece of ourselves. See, I don't mind the pursuit as long as we know where is going to lead us. This pursuit, any spiritual pursuit, should be leading you back to you, you know. Any spiritual development should be leading you back to the understanding of you. And so the more you understand yourself, the more I have seen in my experience that you will begin to learn and know God. And so it goes hand in hand. You've got to pursue yourself. You have to pursue this happiness. And one of the reasons why I like this idea of happiness and this pursuit of happiness, it's because this world will have you thinking that happiness is childish. You know,
right.
This world will have you thinking that, you know, either it's childish, you're not worthy of it, you've already messed up, you can't get it now. You know, it's just out of reach, just push a little bit harder. And, you know, you already have a happiness with you. And so
absolutely,
I agree.
Absolutely.
When you say someone else's thoughts and ideas are mixed up in our happiness.
But exactly. I mean, you know, that I love what you said, that finding it within by finding it through God, understanding that
Absolutely.
That's the ultimate happiness. We may not enjoy the process to regain a balance between spiritual being and temporal or earthly being. It's a process, and it's a work. It's like going to the gym and working to get that balance,
yes,
to be happy with what God gives, and to put out enough to get continue to get the abundance of God. But when you don't have God, you don't know what happiness is, so you always pursue it. So you think happiness,
yes,
you will find happiness getting high. So you pursue happiness through getting high. Oh, a man will give me happiness. A woman will give me happiness. So you pursue happiness through relationships. And so you get relationship after relationship. Oh, lo and behold, there's no happiness. You're getting high after high. Huh? Still not happy. Well, maybe if I get more money, you're working. You know, some of the brothers might get down and start doing some things that ain't cool in the community. You know what I'm saying? Illegal pharmaceuticals and as such. And still no happiness, even in the material possession. So we have to ask ourselves, what is this happiness? And not rely on something they taught me in the streets a long time ago. It's old hustler, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. So a lot of times we can't believe on our lying eyes to interpret or to give us input to us, our spiritual self, what a happiness is. We really have to rely on God. And
uh-huh,
sometimes we've been so wayward. I know my mouth is closer to my ear, and I'm still working on it. But we've been so wayward that, you know, this happiness, to me, true happiness is a balance between spiritual self and physical self and walking in a way of peace. But to do that, just to maintain it, exercising that muscle through spiritual practices, where some may look at religious practices, fasting. What do we do? Sister Seven, as you taught us, precision of language, knowing what I want, being direct, being just, being loving, compassionate in my speech, social practices, as far as charity and things of that nature, that we tend to do, distort the discipline, this physical self, to receive and house this spirit, this great, awesome spiritual being that is connected to God. Any of that, how we come to God, we return.
Mm-hmm.
That's connected to God so I can walk in this balance of peace. And that balance of peace, I am no contains happiness. I know it does. I am convinced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I was speaking to the goddaughters Sunday. And
uh-oh,
I was speaking to them. Oh yeah, no, my bad. They were behaving.
Okay, good deal.
All my baby elephants are accounted for.
Good deal.
And they are behaving.
Big shout out to them. Big shout out to the babies.
But I was speaking to them about what they wanted, you know, getting
mm-hmm.
to a very pure, basic understanding of want, a very basic understanding of desire, and getting them to see if what you want is good and positive and it does not negatively hurt anyone else, why are you not convinced about it? Why are you not pursuing it? Why are you not, you know, what is the hesitation? You know, make a list. You know, I'm good for making lists, okay? Make a list. What do you want? And be very honest in your list. Be very forward in your list. And what I'm seeing and hearing, not just from them, but from others that I'm working with, there's a hesitation in putting everything in a want. You know, it's like, I want this, but is it okay to want that? You know, I want this. Is it okay, you know, what if someone else wants it? What is this and what is that? And I'm sitting here like already at this young age, self-doubt's there. There's a question of self. Other people putting their doubt into these young people, other people questioning them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a good thing to want. Slash them seeing their elders fall short. When your elders don't want, and when your elders, the people who are setting the example for you, live a half life, what are you to think that you deserve a whole life and they're accepting a half life? The very people that are set up to make an example. Say it again.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
the people that you are poised to set an example for, when they fall short, there's a failure within everyone that's looking at this person.
Mm-hmm.
So that from that mm-hmm. top, when that top falls short, it trickles down. Because it's like, I remember I had this good girlfriend, oh my God, and she was just beautiful. And she got married, and I was so happy for her. And her marriage didn't work. It was like 1 year. And guess what? That happened. But it shook me. It shook me in my understanding of marriage, because I was like, look, that girl was beautiful. One, she woke up every day and did her hair, too. She cooks with 6-inch heels on, and I was in here like, oh, I cannot compete with that, you know. And it made me really think. I was like, man, what do I have to do? And I had to really kind of go back and say, okay, this is what I want. So I had to go back and kind of refashion myself. All right, what am I looking for? All right, so then after I was, what I want, this is what I want, I wrote my list, I sat it on my shrine, I'm making my prayers and my intentions on it. Then it was like, okay, well, what are the steps? And then I had to be honest and say, okay, look, this is the pursuit part. This is the pursuit part. I want this. I want my A Wonderful Approach Center. This is it. I got a date, got location, got this. All right, so wanting it, and Sister Faith will tell you about faith, wanting it is not enough. And this is what this is the whole point of this conversation. Wanting is not enough. What are the actions?
What are the actions?
What steps are you willing to take? So you have to be willing to take the steps from the want. You know what I'm saying? And be okay with everything that comes with that.
Absolutely. So, I spoke about this one time before. When we were talking about, that's what we were talking about when it came to young people and that sense of entitlement. And how during the course of the conversation, you actually have changed my opinion on it. Because I was like, young people have feel too entitled. And you were saying, what was wrong with that? And I totally did not get it. I mean, then I got it after this conversation. But now, like, you really see it. Once you have that sense of expectation, that's
correct.
A part of the faith, you know, like knowing I'm worthy, I deserve this, you know, and I'm believing in the promise. I'm believing in the promise that it's just like, you know, you're told in school, if you do good and get good grades, and then you could get a scholarship, and you go to college, and you have the opportunity to better your life, this and that. You want the promise. Sometimes it doesn't always turn out like that, but that's the great thing about God. God is you can take his word to God, its word to the bank. You want the promise, you know, so you do you do everything that the promise says to do. It says, hey, if I watch my language, if I know what I desire, don't curse people in my language and curse myself with this ill language, if my actions are right and exact, yada, 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 you say it, contract, can I, you know, I tell the people in the Islamic science, you know, I do the Islamic thing. When we make the dua, which is a prayer, a form of prayer, one of the forms of prayer, we hold our hands in a cupping position, a very expecting position. Like, yo, here it is. Put it right here. Put it on me, Lord. Put it in these big old hands that you know, let it overflow. So I think that sense of, like you were talking about, that sense of expected with the works. You know, if you don't have expectation with the works, it becomes slavery.
That's right.
If
and
you don't
know,
expect
the
reward at the end of it, it is just slavery.
The expectation should help us pick our feet up. But that's not what I'm seeing. That's not what I'm seeing. Mm. What I'm seeing is the hesitation. And that's what I want to get out of. You know what I'm saying? Get out of the hesitation. And look, family, me and Brother Ibrahim, we can do this for hours. We do this for hours.
Okay? They have no idea. None.
We do this for
hours. This is a coffee
session. But this, Indeed. You know, this is why we do radio, though. Press one, join in the conversation, add a question.
Yeah.
You know, this is for everyone to gather because, like I said, we do this all the time. And we'll just keep flowing. So this is a reminder to ourselves and to everyone else. You press one if you'd like to speak. There are a lot of people on the line. There are a lot of new people on the line. So, you know, that's how you get into the conversation, even if you just want to say hello. You know, all of that is wonderful because we're talking about that pursuit of happiness. And I would love to hear because, you know, we're about to get deep into this. I had to do my little prelude. I had to make sure Brother Ibrahim wasn't going to run nowhere. But we're about to get deep into this. But I wanted to say the shout out for the one. Press one, join the conversation. If you want to help save them and rescue them like everyone else does, that's all you have to do. Because we're going to be talking about that first step. And this, I'm telling you, family, like I tell people, if you're going to fall, just fall forward. I don't care if you fall. I don't care if you fail. You know, you're going to get a couple bumps and bruises in the middle of this. You know, go ahead and accept that now. It's okay. But if you never lift your foot up, if you never try, if you don't put that effort forward, you're going to miss the happiness part. This doesn't just fall in your lap. There are things you have to do. Even sometimes not doing something is doing something. So, you know, I want to talk about that first step, getting past that fear, getting past your own negative self-talk, getting past, you know, what society might say, what my family might say, you know, what my spouse might say. My great aunt had a thing, Mommy Neal. She said, look, don't sleep with the enemy. And I'd be like, Mommy Neal, what are you talking about? I would never sleep with an enemy, you know. At the same time, you know, because I remember being young, and she would always talk about you can't partner with someone who can't see your dream, who can't see your vision, who's going to have you afraid to take that step. And so, you know, we have to be aware and conscious of that first step, you know. And you know, by the time you've reached our age, our ripe age, we've had a couple of steps that we've taken. So, Ibrahim, would you like to share one of your good steps, one of your bad steps for someone trying to step for the first time? You know, what is it about taking that first step towards your own happiness?
The very first step, I think, is for me was to clean my mirror, was honesty, brutal honesty.
Okay.
You know, I think that's the first to really not, it's not so much even what other people feed us that goes into our image. It's what we feed ourselves. I don't know where we're eating it from. But what was it? So what I thought I was or who I thought I was in the beginning of the journey didn't add, you know, just didn't add up. So that I think the realization of that, I think that was the hardest first step for me, just realizing that I was two different people.
Okay. I know for me, the first step that I had to take was defining what made me happy. You know, I have spent so much time with elders. You know, my apprenticeship, I didn't do with people my age. You know, I was young legs forever. I was 40 years old, young legs, to women that were 60, 65, you know, my mother's age and more.
Right.
And so by that age in their life, they already had worked out a lot of the things I was just starting with. And so their patience with me was not 100%. They were like, look, chick, we don't worry about that kind of stuff. But, you know, for me, I think the first step was really defining what made me happy. You know, what, not my mother's idea of happy, not.
Were you unhappy?
That was a great question. I was not happy. I was not unhappy, but I was not happy. There were some big Swiss cheese holes in my life, you know, and I was trying to plug them with children. Like we started off the conversation with, plug it with children. Mm-hmm. That didn't work. Plug it with husband. That didn't work. You know, plug it with just anything else outside of looking and dealing with me. And so I was not unhappy, but I definitely wasn't happy. And that left me in a limbo. And sometimes limbos can be very dangerous because you're just kind of floating along, not really realizing that a year has passed, that 2 years have passed, that your life is passing, and you're not really engaged, you know? And so it took me a while to realize, but no, I wasn't happy. And so the first thing I had to do was define, you know, what is happiness? What makes you happy? Yeah. And it can't be something you can buy because money runs out. You know, it can't be something that someone else provides for you because at that point you're giving someone else too much power over you. So it's like, what is happiness? And that answer should be different for each person. So at 30, did you know what happiness was?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't. You know what? And let's entice a caller to call in again because I'd love to hear that. You said something that was interesting. You said that happiness should be the answer should be different for each person.
Yeah.
I would love to hear someone, say what happiness because I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily what is happiness if I necessarily because
see that was my first question.
Yeah. See, I know what happiness is. Happiness is, I say peace, you know, and peace, my understanding is peace is just the absence of chaos. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's happiness to me. If I'm at peace, if I have the absence of chaos in my life, that means, you know, I'm not that, you know, fear is chaos, stress is chaos, worry is chaos, those things, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's happiness to me. But I would love to hear what other people, because I'd like to hear what someone would say out without it being material or tangible. I would love to hear what, so call us. Hey, listen.
Exactly.
Call and hit one.
I got a caller that has
Okay.
I have a caller that has hit one. Feeling brave. So we're going to go ahead and bring them on in. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Greetings. Hello,
how are you? I'm very good, thank you. How are you? Oh, good. my question to you, do you know who this is?
I do know who this is, my dear.
Oh,
how
good.
Are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Hey, that is absolutely fine. My question to you is, walk me through some of walking through that fear, taking those steps. You've gone a little backwards, and I'm intrigued by that as well, finding the happiness and what that means to you and not realizing, and yes, being without the chaos and society's expectations and so forth and so on. But that is very scary to do because we're judged daily on every little thing that we do, how we dress, how we look, how we think, how we smell, how we talk. So walk me through some guidance on the fear of moving forward.
Absolutely.
Because the judgment
is
so strong.
It is.
I'm sorry.
Ian is everywhere. It is. Judgment is everywhere, and it's so strong. So, Brother Ibrahim, would you like a first crack at that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think this is the whole thing when we talk about, when you say judgment and the fear of it because of the judgment, we as the spiritual, well, I know me, as, let's say from the outside first, as a spiritual community or whatever, we have to be careful not to put the judgment on these individuals, not to make them feel like that they're not matching up, they're not moving fast enough, they're not progressing, but this is what you do and this is what you don't do. Secondly, it goes back again to, like I said, developing that very personal, intimate relationship with God. And God, to me, one of the names of God is peace. And so if peace is the absence of confusion, I love to believe in my understanding of God that God is not going to, you know what they say, what's the old saying, he doesn't put a burden on you greater than you could bear. It's baby steps. But there are steps to be taken. See, we have to be careful
right.
that we don't confuse not moving from baby steps. You have to take those steps. But even if they're baby steps until you get past the bandy leg. But there's little things at first, you know, like, you know, at first you just refrain from using profanity, precision of language. If you hang with homeboys that are big on that, they're going to know, hey, yo, man, I know this. You're, nah, man, I'm done with that. I'm trying to expand vocab, homie, trying to find new words. They're small steps. So I would tell people, you know, we don't have to. See, it's what religion does to us. You know, when we in the church, we're born again and saved again. We must make this declaration and go out and change. Well, in Islam, we take La ilaha illallah and go out in this profession. No. It's in my understanding, and God has given me this wonderful way, is that it's just baby steps and gradual steps. And God is peace. So, but it must be movement, but it's just, you know, leave off the foul language. If you know that you're overeating, cut back. Look out for the help. If you know you're watching some things that you shouldn't be watching on that television, yo, cut it down. Listen, the music that you're listening to. So these small steps will begin to allow God to speak louder within you and cultivate the physical being to get the courage and the strength to progress in other areas of their life. And so that's my take on that.
And see, this is why we have to have Brother Ibrahim come close and stay close to the collective. Because, you know, Mama Seven is not that. I am going to jump into yourself. You're going to get it. Oh, you're going to get it. You know, there ain't no baby steps. I'm going to boot you across, and then you can rub your hind parts while you're over there, while you're safe and over there. I'm going to get you. This is why when we do retreats, when we do workshops, we just, you just have to start insisting that Brother Ibrahim be there, because I'm not going to do that now. No. I honor honesty in the baby, even in the baby steps. Or if you're taking the baby step because that's all you know right now, then, of course, please do that. But there are people that got long legs just trying to take an inch at a time, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. Now you're playing games. You know, now you're hesitating. Now, so it all depends on really the intent in that. You know, we're all human and flawed, and, you know, I don't even look for perfection, not even in myself. But when it comes to working past that fear, it is, I think you, that honesty, you know, because Brother Ibrahim, I've heard you say it a number of times now, honesty.
Yes.
In that fear, you have to be honest about where you are. You know, writing today, I had to write, you know, this spiritual journey may have you alone. And after I wrote it, I stopped and I'm like, no, I don't want that. And I don't want to promote that. And I don't want to scare people. But in an honesty sense, it's like, this is something that I would rather you face up front. I'd rather you know that some of the negative environments you've been at, you can't be there no more. You know, if you have old friends that have old habits, and you know you're not the strongest in the inside, you may have to say, look, I already know you on that stuff. I have to pull back from you. You know, there are people that have pulled back from me because they're like, I don't want to hear all that God talk all the time. You know, I'm glad that you're happy and that God has blessed you, but not all the time. And I'm like, well, God's with me all the time, and that's all I think, that's all I feel. And so moving past the fear takes some honesty on your part and being able to say, hey, I am feeling this, I'm feeling that, I'm at this point, you know, I am, you know, feeling fearful. And if you're over the age of 25, I'm going to tell you to get a buddy, okay? Like when we did our fast, everybody had a buddy. Everybody had two buddies, you know. There was someone that was there to help you and to hold on to you and to help hold you accountable. So not only did you – there was always – if you looked at who your buddies were, there was someone that was going to hold you up, and then there was someone that was going to be looking at you as inspiration, you know. And so there are times when you're going through this journey in your pursuit, you're going to need – I love the term accountability partner. You're going to need someone that's going to hold you to it and say, hey, look, and see, I'm not going to babysit you. Look, you've been doing this for how long? Where are you at? I think you need to be a little further. I think you need to try a little harder. You know, I think Brother Ibrahim was just talking about warm up. You know, you 3 years deep and you still doing, no,
yeah,
you can't do that.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with that. Yeah, that's a little,
don't,
that's
you
a little
have
much.
No excuse. Yeah, 3 years.
I think
so. Now, if you just started, that's totally understandable. Take it slow.
That's a bit much,
because you can't hurt yourself.
And also, You made me think about a thing too. You when you said something also too, examining the fear. What's that saying they say? Oh, false evidence appearing real. You know, examining the fear. What is it exactly that we think we fear?
What is it?
If we can break it down what's the worst or these very realistic problems? Then we'll find out some of them are just imaginary. And the problems that may be real, just take some are very simple. So, like you said, you may have to leave the vicinity. You may have to change.
Yep.
So we have to examine what is the fear? What is keeping me immobile? What is preventing me from moving? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And this is what we say about that peace, because very good. What peace is the absence of confusion. This is where, in the literal sense of the word, disease comes in. This ease comes in because spirit is saying we want to do this. The physical body is immobilized by some imaginary restriction.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And it really is an imaginary
restriction over spirit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It really is imaginary. And
yeah.
So thank you, Sister Joyce, for calling in. First time caller, fantastic. And giving us a great question about
that
fear.
That was it. Yeah.
Because we got to face that before we get anywhere. You know, I do want the pursuit. I want people to look and to search for and to try. And if we're not going to achieve anything, we don't even try for. So, you know, we have to get in that habit. We got to flex that muscle of trying. And it is a muscle. Because once you've done it once and have achieved your goal, nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you. You know, like I always say, you know, wild horses couldn't tear a determined man away. You know, if you are determined, this is what you want, this is what you're going to do, I believe wild horses couldn't pull you, you know. And that is because once you are convicted within self that this is my happiness, there'll be nothing else that you will allow to interfere with you. You will achieve all of your goals. You're like, hey, I'm going to fight this. I am determined. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what that, when the heart is convicted, everything else just kind of falls in place. Now, does that mean that the problems magically disappear? No, the problems are still there.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see them. You don't care. You know, you're determined.
It's that determination. Yeah, that determination.
Absolutely.
Like you said, that determination. It reminds me of a verse. It's like you said, that heart, that focus, that mindset. I know in Quran, God says, I have not put two hearts in one man. You know, just all of that wishy-washy desire. I know in the Bible, I believe it says something to the effect of a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All of that, not doing what you want. All of that, not being focused, not having the intent, and the right, and fear is the great immobilizer. Man, this is stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
trust me.
That was a good point. That's just a brought up a
good Oh, yeah. You have to. And what you have to do is to pull and to get your determination for happiness that strong. You know, it has to get so strong that nothing will deter you. Nothing. And then at that point, you won't ask, well, how? You'll be asking, can you assist? Can you assist? You're going to be, it changes into looking for reasons why it won't work to looking for reasons how it can work. You're like, hey, I'm going to put everything into this. This is what I want because I know this is my happiness. And especially if that happiness is based off of you. You have to base the happiness.
What do you say? It goes from being how God to thank God. You know, how God to thank God.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Yes. And that's how you know
that's real.
What you're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know what is coming up. That's how you know your determination. That's how you know everything. Because once you get to that point, it's only a matter of time because you already have put all the intentions out for this to work. You have already said, hey, God, this is what I'm doing. This is my energy. This is my intent. Bless me with this. God grants all blessings. It just be a matter of time, but God has already put that in place. So, when we put all of our faith into God, and once we have created this pursuit, that's the thing. When I was looking at this, when I was doing my notes, I was like, it's not just knowing what makes you happy. It's not just having the raw energy behind it. You have to put the two together, and then that creates the pursuit of it. And then at that point, nothing will stop you. Nothing.
Mm.
So, I absolutely. And see, this is how.
But you
know
here's the danger, too. I want to say. Well, allow me to say this, too. Because when we talk about this precision of language, and that is my faith. You know how I got stuck with that one for months. I want people to be aware of the pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in the pursuit. See, a lot of times we're caught up in the pursuit. Eventually, you want to obtain happiness. It's like Sister Seven is saying, know what your happiness is so you know that you arrive. The pursuit can feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The pursuit is the date night. The pursuit is, the new spiritualist, the new altar, that's the pursuit of it. But when do you obtain the happiness, the fulfillment, the prosperity, the success of it? So I don't. And a lot of times the pursuit can be so good and it feels good.
The journey.
That also negative energy lies on that road of the pursuit and will constantly keep you in the pursuit. That's not it. And we'll constantly be in the pursuit of that, of an alleged happiness. So I go back to reiterate
but
what you said at the very beginning of the show. Know what your happiness is.
I think that would be
the key point word. That was like key.
You have to know what the happiness is. Because without that, then you are just a hamster on the hamster wheel. You know what I'm saying? And that's not going to be successful. Eventually you'll be like, man, I'm really not getting this thing. You know what I'm saying? It's really not here. I'm really not achieving this. No, you have to know what the pursuit, what you are pursuing. If you don't, you won't even know which direction to run, and you have to know that for yourself, Let me say this, because we had a caller that liked to speak. This pursuit changes every 5 years, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
So the things that we thought were important, Lord knows,
and the pace
5 years ago.
Right, and how about the pace? First it was a foot pursuit.
Yes.
Now they're in a car. You still can't be running on foot trying to catch it. It's moving.
Yes.
So the vehicles, they have to keep up.
The vehicle changes. The reason why you want it has changed. There is a time where, I wanted to, look a certain way because I wanted my dress to fit a certain way. Okay. Now I want to look a certain way. And I'm more concerned about my health and my ability to keep up with the kids and this. I'm more, it's the same pursuit. I'm still trying to monitor myself physically.
When I can still see.
Look, these are old jokes.
Y'all ain't getting it, okay? Where are my glasses? Anyone see my glasses?
Right, exactly. I just love the look. So the pursuit does change. We change. You know, how we go about pursuing changes. Where before there was a time I would toil, I put my shoulder on and I make it work. Now I go to my prayer room. You know, now I make it work. Yes. You know, and so everything about this changes and adjusts. So we can't get so caught up in, well, this is the way I did it 10 years ago. I got to keep going. No, no, so much. Hopefully, if God has blessed you, so much has changed then. You know, because if I were wanting and pursuing the same thing I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, the same way for the same reason, then I would question my own growth. I would question what I was doing.
Indeed.
I was questioning why I had not evolved and why my mind hadn't evolved, why my spirit hadn't evolved. So, you know, we can't just, it's not just about getting from A to B. It's also about maturing along the way and then adjusting that. So, absolutely. But hold on, let's bring this caller in because I want to hear and share what is the pursuit of happiness and possibly what was that first scary step? So hold on. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Hi.
Greetings.
Oh, it's a baby elephant. Hey.
Hey.
Aza. What's good?
And Brother Ibrahim, I saw how you panicked when she mentioned the baby elephant. She was like, oh, see,
hey.
What she said was good. See?
Hey, I had a check, man. They don't call you back. You guys wear that. That's real, real. I don't know if people know baby elephant would come to the town with everything. Oh, it's all good, though. It's all out of love.
It's all good.
Man, what's good? What's good, Sister Aza?
This is like, so when you asked what is happiness, I started to think to myself, like, okay, really, what is happiness? And I think I got myself caught up because I think I based my definition of happiness on the state of mind that I'm in, but I think I did it in an unhealthy way because I said that my definition of happiness is, you know, making sure that I don't put myself back in a situation to where I'm unhappy. And I don't think that is a real answer because I think that I'm looking at it wrong. So, you know, I just want to say that because I know I'm not the only one who felt that. Like, when
you're
you
not.
Say, what is happiness? What does it take? What steps are you willing to take? And some of us, our definition of happiness deals with the things that we don't want to go through anymore. And that's not happiness.
Yes.
So I think I need to go back to the drawing board and to actually think about what is happiness. Because like Mama Seven, when you said that you wasn't like in a bad headspace, but you wasn't fully happy, that means you wasn't really catering to the things that you wanted to cater to when it deals with you. So it's like, okay, you know, my definition of happiness is not healthy. It's not a healthy definition. So, yeah, I had to check myself on that just now.
I appreciate you, baby elephant, because you always willing, between you and Sister Melissa, y'all are willing to step out there and say, you know what, I think I'm reading this upside down. And sometimes I'm like, you're right on target, you know what I'm saying? And, again, the first step is realizing what makes you happy. Being unhappy is nowhere near the same as being happy. And once you've been happy, you will know the difference. You know, not being happy, I mean, not being unhappy is paying all your bills. And you can say, whew, whew, paid all my bills. Being happy is paying all your bills and having just enough for that special little whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And not basing it off of finances, but it's just finding out that joy center. Paying bills alone is not joyful. You know, that is just kind of like, meh.
I think you said,
I know you got something to say.
Yeah, because you said you there again. You said it in the beginning. We covered so much, and I thought it was a lot in the beginning. So you guys are gonna have to listen to this again. I know that I am. You were saying about that space of limbo, you know, and how many of us get caught up in that? That we're not unhappy, but we don't know what happiness is, so we're not really happy. We're just existing. You know, it is so impressive. When you said that to me about this limbo, I'm like, man, I need to go back and really get to the nitty-gritty of what particular specific happiness looks like for Brother Ibrahim. Because there are so many of us that just exist in that space. I'm not unhappy, so therefore I must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is happiness, but is it really? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Have you taken the time? Have you taken mastery of your own destiny? Do you know that you have the right to be happy? You have the right to absolutely be happy. You have the right to sit down and write it all out, defy it down to the T. If blue seats in your car, warmer the seats, why would mine to vibrate? You know, if that's what makes me happy, you have the right to get down that specific. But it goes a lot of times into knowing that, it's like what Sister Joy said, the fear. And having the self-worth, knowing that we have the right to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And you would be surprised how many of us don't believe that. How many of us think, oh, well, you know, I can't be happy, or, you know, or someone else is probably going to be happy before me. Or, you know, we'll look in other people's lanes and be like, oh, they've got to be happy. And and we'll talk ourselves out of a situation or talk ourselves down. So this is why we must 100% have an understanding for ourselves. What is happiness? What do we think happiness is? And without that, we are really peddling upstream. Because we don't know what, because we won't know when that point gets here that I'm now happy. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, you know, you'll see kids, they eating candy, they will eat it till it's gone. They don't have a pull-up point. So they don't have a point when their brain says, I am now happy. All they're thinking is more, 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 more. And eventually that will make them sick, that because they haven't reached a point of maturity to where they can say, I am happy with this. You know, there also comes a point where, you know, unfortunately, because of society, because of all of the places that try to input into our psyche, we begin to have other people, allow other people, oh, you can't be happy unless you have, you know, a husband,
right.
2.5 kids,
absolutely.
A dog and a cat. You know, it's like we have, we're living someone else's dream, and we're realizing it's our nightmare. This isn't what I want, you know? And so we have to really get to the point without that first question about what makes you happy, we don't really know. And then without the strength,
okay.
Courage, it's okay for a moment.
And it's okay.
Because if you get
not to be unhappy. It's never, but it's okay to say that this isn't what I want. You know, I think like Sister Joy said, that fear factor. Yeah, it's okay to say, you know what, this is not cool. This isn't what I want, and not just say it, but
even after you think you get it,
yeah.
if it's not what you want, you stand up and say, you know what, I thought this is what's going to make me happy. I thought this is what I wanted. It didn't do it. That means I'm going to go back to pursuing, you know, because I now have reached, I've grown up. I've learned something new. And like I say, it's not a mistake if you learn from it. So learn from this. I learned that this is not enough. This ain't going to work. And not be afraid to say, I want to be happy. At any age. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut. It's so deep. Go ahead, please. Want to finish it off?
I was going to talk about Iya Munife. I was going to talk about Iya Munife. You remember Iya, right? Iya is about 88 years old, y'all. Okay, a little thing down in Florida, An Oshun priestess of Lord have mercy, 35, 40 years. And she's very, 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 very Oshun-y. And when I say she is, she has lived her life the way she's wanted to. See, to me, that's an example of happiness. See, other people will look at your stuff and be like, man, you got what I'm looking for. You got to be happy, you know. Now, if you ask them, they'll be like, it's all right. I do this with Ibrahim all the time. I'm like, look, I said, man, you get to study all day. You get to do this. You get to do that. And he's like, meh. And I'm like, what, are you crazy? That's ultimate, you know. So this is how I know everybody's understanding of happiness is different. One thing that also comes up in me and Ibrahim's conversation, I want Ibrahim to expound on this a little bit. And I'm going to say thank you, Baby Elephant, for bringing up this great convo. But one thing that we always talk about is the cost of happiness. Take a minute, please, and explain to us, what's the cost of happiness? You know, because everybody wants to be happy and jump up and down, but they don't realize that there are sacrifices that you make for being happy.
Absolutely. I think that it's like what you said, knowing what happiness is. You know, happiness is like I said, absence of confusion for me is a state. So every material thing that comes into my way, I see if it's going to elevate that state, if it enhances that state. If it is something that's not going to enhance that state, elevate the state of happiness, or just contribute to it, then, you know, that's something I don't want. Like you said, the cost of that is, with happiness is a very elite club. You know, happiness is an elite club. Every time, what is that scripture that says, do not let them going to and fro in the land or the gold and glitter deceive you in the scriptures that I read. So, you know, to achieve that state of contentment and peace, man, just when existing in a crazy world comes at the cost of, to me, and everybody's cost may be different. That's why I think why they call it cost. It's what you value. It costs me friends. It has cost me positions in other organizations. It's cost me the stability in areas that I know that I'm studious and that I know I'm the funk in into this whole spiritual realm. So it's the cost is really just everything that prohibited your spiritual being from being the very best. Everything that stopped you from living the very best experience that you could live. That is the absolute cost. If that, sometimes there may be someone close to you, you know, it may be your favorite food, because health is a very big part. I don't think we emphasize or stress that enough in our spiritual pursuits and journeys, is that this, the body that houses that energy has to be right. So it's just all of that. It's going to cause you really just doing what you felt like that you could do. It costs you, what do they call that? It costs you non-accountability. Now you have to be accountable, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
mm-hmm.
it is. It costs you everything, that form of life.
Yeah, that cost. You have to know about that. And before you even decide you want to go forward, that I think that's part of the hesitation of lifting up that leg, of taking that first step, is it's like, ooh, but if I take this step, this changes, that changes. And, you know, the ripple effect of the change, I think that's the part that has everybody so that's where the fear comes in, because it's like, I don't want to lose. I don't want to feel like I'm losing. I want to feel like I'm changing. And sometimes I'm like, you don't want to lose that friend. That wasn't even your friend. That was a bad friend, you know. But it's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but I'm kind of used to that friend, okay? You know, yeah, but
mm-hmm.
that friend and
mm-hmm.
I, we've been through some things. So, you know, when it comes to that hesitation, it's very real about the fear. You have to be willing to pay the cost. What is the cost? You know, the cost may be being the black sheep of your family, you know, to pursue your happiness.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the cost
you
might
gotta
be
fly.
I give up.
Fly.
I give up the high paying job to herd sheep, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, you know, you have to know what the cost is and be okay with it and say, you know what, I see the cost and I'm all right. Brother Ibrahim, I got another caller that I'd like to speak, so hold on for just a second, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Greetings, welcome to the show.
Peace.
Greetings.
Alafia, how are you?
Alafia.
Dear Sister Unique, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So, obviously it was made for me to be on the show tonight because I did not press one.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not. I do not. All I heard was unmuted. I was like, what? Okay. Let's talk about it.
Look, so you know what that means. That means it's confession time. Tell us about that first step. Tell us about that first step.
Yeah. That first step is really dealing with your inner self. And when I say that faith of a mustard seed is real, you have to step out. You have to realize that you have to step out on God and know that you're worth it. You know that you're worth being happy. That's what I had to realize, that I was worth being happy. I was worth being loved. I was worth being happy. I was worth having joy, you know, and to see and to make sure that you surround yourself by people who have those things. Because if you don't have examples of happiness, and if you don't see what happiness is, because we see what abuse is, but what is happiness? You know, so, like, I always used to say I search for and try my best to look for people who are in a good relationship or, you know, that was happy. And I love to see black love. And in me embracing that, I was like, if I love to see black love, then I know an example of what that is. I see the example of how a man is supposed to treat a woman, how a woman is supposed to treat a man, how they're supposed to treat each other, how they love each other in the midst of being with each other, and how they love God and how they praise God in the middle of that. And if you can find those examples and find yourself in that, that first step can help you out. That's a great part to your first step.
That's right. That's right. You know, with any job, you have a mentor. At every job, you have someone that you're supposed to shadow. You have somebody that's supposed to walk you through the steps and everything else like that. Thinking about our parents and our parents' people, you know what I'm saying? How many of them showed us happy? You know, I don't think the generation before us was real tickled about anything, you know? And so here we are with the opportunity to be happy, the opportunity for relationships, the opportunity for whatever, and we don't have the experience of recognizing it or supporting it or nurturing it.
Or supporting or nurturing it. And yes and no in the examples, because I grew up with my great-grandparents. You know, so you have my mom's generation, and then right behind that, you have my grandmother. But then you have my great-grandparents that, you know, those family circles were a whole lot closer. So we're talking about my great-grandparents together for 65 years. So for 65 years, you know, I mean, during the time that they were alive and I was around them, I had the opportunity to see, you know, I never knew when they argued. I never saw them argue. You know, and there were probably plenty of times when they were upset with each other, but they stayed with each other, and they there were just things that they did. They did for each other, they did for themselves, they did for the children. So in a lot of examples that were set for me was, okay, this is what we do. We work it out. We stand the test of time. We do this, we do that. You know, then you turn around and, you know, we all have those fairy tales that's given to us as children, you know, those storybooks, romances, and then some of them you can grab onto, some of them, they really are just storybook romances. But the real romance comes in when you start loving yourself, you know, because once you love yourself and you understand that law of attraction, you will attract to you what you do for yourself. When you start taking care of yourself, when you start loving yourself, appreciating yourself, dating yourself, I buy myself flowers. If I waited until I got in a relationship to get flowers, and my dad, I used to go out with my father. My father brought me flowers. My father kissed my hand. My father told me I was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? That was the person who set those examples because I was his daughter.
You called
him.
You had a hoo-hoo moment. Hoo-hoo. You going to talk about this happiness and love here.
Right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Did I put that out there? Did I do that?
No, she put it out there.
She said, hoo-hoo.
She put it out there.
Yes, she did. And my father, he bought me for
hoo-hoo. Look, that sounded like happiness.
Yes.
What is that?
Yes, that's exactly what it sounded like.
That
happiness
sounded like
has a sound. Yes. I love it.
Absolutely. So as you were doing your lovely soliloquy, I was listening, but the giggle overshadowed everything, and what was that? Yeah, that sounded like happiness. Okay. So there's a root to some of this happiness. That's what I'm getting. And that's absolutely wonderful, being able to support and nurture it. Absolutely wonderful. What else did you hear, Brother Ibrahim?
Man, I heard so much. And I would agree with her, what she was saying, coming up with. I've seen, maybe they were happy moments, but I've seen my mother happy. I've seen my father happy. And then the going with the argument, here's my take on arguments. I think just because, happiness is a state. It doesn't mean it won't be threatened. You know, it's like being with God. It doesn't mean that position, the devil isn't going to tempt you or negative energy isn't going to come your way. The arguments, if that's what we want to call them, God says in the Quran, he says, argue with them ways that are best. So the arguments, when we use precision of language, should just be debates or exchanges of solutions to get rid of this confusion so we can get back to the state of happiness. So happiness doesn't mean that the confusion won't try to rear its head or that negativity won't come up. But happiness is like what Seven said, is that giggle, that hoo-hoo, that makes you say, okay, even through this discussion and exchanges of ideas and solutions, that hoo-hoo is what's going to be the basis of us finding the solution to the problem and retaining and maintaining
or
that state of happiness.
Or even wanting a solution. Or even wanting a solution.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sometimes,
exactly.
Let me tell you about the
idea. But I believe we get what we want, I believe we get what we want.
Yeah, and I have seen many irritated spirits. I call it the irritated spirit syndrome, okay? Once your spirit is irritated, it's going to look for any reasons to – it's like a bronco. It's like a – it's fighting, it's bucking, it's doing all this because it's like, look, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. This is not me. I've already checked out. I'm gone. So, when you're fighting against yourself, I think that's when those, the disrespectful fights come in. When you're fighting against self, when yourself and the situation are fighting, that's when it gets disrespectful and all this other stuff because there's a conflict within the person, not even with you. I've been in arguments. This has have nothing to do with me. I'm hanging up. You can continue arguing by yourself because this argument is not with me. The argument is with this other person totally, And so, what happens when you can't be happy? What happens when your spirit, your essence, the thing that connects you to God, what happens when that's irritated? What happens when that piece of you is unhappy? I think
that's
the difference between happiness and happiness. Say it again.
Yeah. That's that courage you talk about. That's that courage you talk about. That's when that taking action. That's when prayer after prayer, knowing that this is a disconnect between you and God, that this in your life, whatever it is, drugs, money, women, food, cars, whatever it may be, if it disconnects you from God, This is where the real adult actions have to take place, and you have to say, you know what, I have to part with what we were talking about, that cost. Dang, God,
yeah.
It's going to cost you this, but, yo,
yeah.
At the cost.
Yeah, but
because
I have
it's,
to.
It's preventing happiness, right? Yeah, because it's preventing
yeah.
my happiness. So, I mean,
but
it's comfortable. I like that way.
Maturity comes in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, even spiritually, you just got to be mature. You know, you
yeah.
have to, that's adulting, you know what I'm saying? Well, thank you, and thank you for the giggle. Needed that. And
yes.
thank you for calling in.
It,
okay. Okay, and I got one more caller that I'm going to take, and then we got to wrap up. I cannot believe where all the time has gone, but I got one more caller that I'm going to have to get. Let's see. Greetings.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Good evening. It's Sister Melissa. How y'all doing?
Twin.
Sister Melissa,
how are you? I'm good. And it's funny because I really didn't have a lot to say, so I think that's why Sister Unique slid in there. So I wanted to say on this pursuit of happiness, which I'm going to say I think my walk started with knowledge, so I just want to thank AWA for giving me a place mm-hmm. to learn more about myself and God and all of that jazz, because like she said earlier, it all comes back to you and that happiness comes back to you. And I want to thank a few of the angels who's already listening because of the pep talks that I've gotten from them from when I'm hit my
job Amen.
At low point.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say is I am realizing what I want. And so this pursuit of happiness, for me personally, this pursuit of happiness isn't a happy journey because there's mm-hmm. a lot of challenges that are getting hit. And like you said, it's there's a lot of sacrifices. And a quote I said
mm-hmm.
when I was younger, it's lonely at the top. And it truly is lonely at the top when there's certain
mm-hmm.
things that you want and haven't been able to achieve for whatever reason. And I say that because that's in my walk. But what I do
mm-hmm.
know is what I don't want. And I do know what I do want because I'm learning what I don't want. So I'm hitting a lot of challenges that are things that have hit me in the past. But my reaction to them today is not the same reaction as it was before. Even today I got
okay.
hit with something that literally I should be mad, soul-searching, why is me? But I'm not doing that. Instead, I totally just cut off the communication and I'm done because that person has their frame of mind, and it's not for me to change it. You think of me a certain kind of way, and unfortunately you're not open enough to see more, and that's on you, not on me. I know where
mm-hmm.
I'm at, I know where I'm going, and I know what I was doing, and I'm sorry that you interpreted it the wrong way, but that's on you. And because you keep doing that, and I realize the more it happens, I knew I wasn't doing anything wrong. And why do I know that? Because I've got this knowledge and I've got these people who have been helping me get myself right. And I know I'm not wrong in my position. I'm actually good. But it's not an easy walk. So just know that in your pursuit of happiness, you're going to hit some obstacles. But you get your happiness and strength. Because
mm-hmm.
if I wasn't as strong as I am today, and I would still be doing the same thing I was doing 20 years ago, knowing that
okay.
today I was told,
okay.
and I have, what's the word, confirmation that I am a better person today than I was back then. That's all.
Amen.
Right
Amen.
On. Right on.
Amen. And let me just say 2 seconds in the wrap up. And thank you, dear Sister Melissa, for chiming in. Appreciate you. The places and spaces that get hard for me, because we're transparent. Look, we all family here. We can share. The places and spaces that get hard for me, my angels always remind me, guardian angels, archangels, spirits here that maintain me, they always remind me, you have a choice now. Before you sit at this high and mighty position you like to sit at, because I do like to sit there, understand you have a choice. You can have the ice cream if you want. It's a choice. But when it comes to, you know, wearing what you want to wear, that ice cream is not the right choice. But you always have a choice. Spirit always reminds me that other people have choices, you know, and that's that free will that I fight with, that I fight with other people, because I'm like, oh, I'm about to get this baby elephant, and she didn't do this, and she didn't do that, and blah, 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 blah. Guess what? Spirit always reminds me there is a choice there. And I'm like, but why? Why would they choose this? Why would they choose that? It does, you know, that's still part of their growing process. So, dear Sister Melissa, and for anyone that hits a tough spot, anyone who really does think is lonely at the top, anyone who's feeling torn in any way, understand these are part of your growing pains. And you always have a choice to stop growing. But the second you stop growing, you stop living. So don't look at the growing pains as something negative, because they're not. They're actually pains associated with growing. And so don't forget you have that choice. So I don't get to, it's not that I can't complain, it's not that I don't complain, it's that I haven't seen complaining change anything. So it's like, I'm going to make the right choice, and thank you for the reminder, there is another choice, but you want the godly choice. You want the one that's going to take you closer to God. Brother Ibrahim, what's your two-minute wrap-up?
Yeah.
You know, what would you like people to walk away
understanding?
I love
it. I think you wrapped it up. Listen, I love it. I think you said it all. I love what you said about complaining. I definitely would warn people to be, you know, there again, this precision of language, because complaining is anti-prayer. Complaining is anti-prayer. If you just have to say anything, take it to prayer. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Your glory to God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No point complaining about it. You know, it's working to reverse everything that you have been putting in effect verbally, mentally, spiritually, with your affirmations and your prayers. When you complain, it is anti-prayer. So please be mindful of that.
No complaining.
Those are my closing words.
No worries.
No complaining.
Let go of the worry. Okay.
Stop working against yourself. In the streets, we call it words. In the streets, we call it hustling backwards. Stop hustling backwards. Stop working against yourself. All that hard work you put into it.
So. Let go of the complaining. Let go of the worry.
Indeed.
Let go of the doubt. Indeed. Let go of the judgment. Indeed. Boy, I tell you, we are so hard on our own self. God already knows us. God knows our heart. He knows our intentions. He knows all of that, okay? But we're so hard on ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves.
Exactly. Please. Let me share that some 2 seconds. And because you think about it, there again, we're talking about base spiritual language. Our father, Adam, one of the things in the science of Islam, we're taught that when all the things had taken place and they did what they had done, that he had felt ashamed, and it says, God says, he says, and from Adam we learned words of repentance. We learned words of repentance. Now, I believe that I walk one with God, and God and I are one. So this repentance wasn't just telling God, forgive me, and I've learned my lesson. He was talking to himself. He forgave himself. He learned a lesson. He wasn't, oh, God, I'm seeing this guy. God ain't never going to talk to him again. I've done this. He said, no, you know what? I stumbled. I stand. I have learned from that. And if you don't come back to me, I will forever be astray. You know, the words in the Quran, at least you guide me not, Lord, I will always, bleed me not to myself, for I will always be astray. So it's like saying, yo, forgive yourself. You did it. You had a human moment. You had a boo-boo. It might have cost. We hope that you learned the lesson from the cost. It may have cost you even a little closeness and familiarity with God. But God never turned his back on you and never, ever, ever had forsaken you. So, and that's positive energy, good that you can do and put out there. It's never, if you have that stumbling block, that isn't the end. Learn the lesson of our father Adam. Turn back to good and say, hey, oops, but let's get it.
Yep.
I'm back with you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's real. That's real. At the time, it may not seem like a stumbling block. At the time, it may seem like everything in the world, okay? And we get it. We feel it. This is why you need to stay close to God, stay close to a wonderful approach, stay close to those that mentor you, you mentor, all of those things. Stay close, because this is how we come back to where we need to be. So don't sit out there by yourself, Shane, and don't be thinking you by yourself, because all of us sitting here looking at you like, girl.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Brother. Right.
Come on.
Right.
What you doing? Okay. So, you know, you're never, ever by yourself. So you don't have to sit in that. You know, kind of brush yourself off and get back into this pursuit and start to make it personal for you. You know, what is going to make you happy? Adjust, get it right. You can throw the whole thing away and say, hey, I'm starting all over. Whatever you want to do, do it. But be intentional in your walk and in your journey. I cannot believe I have let so much time go by knowing that we have to get into this prayer. At the end of the show, for all my new people, I want to say thank you for joining us. I want to say thanks to all the people that called in. We had a nice full house. But I also want to remind you, we do this every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern. And at the end of each show, we do a prayer. When we add God into our intentions, into our thoughts, into our lives and our relationships and everything that we do, we get closer to God. We get more of a better understanding. Our life gets better and easier with every step. So at the end of each show, we always have a small prayer, and I hope that the prayer inspires you to, you know, possibly make a prayer of your own, to do a little more research into your prayers. But, you know, allow this moment to kind of resonate with your spirit and to allow it to push your spirit further in your own personal practice. So, Brother Ibrahim, I always offer the guest, the co-host, you did an awesome job, the opportunity to make prayer. So would you like to offer prayer this evening?
Sure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Dear God, that we know is this intensive positive good, we thank you, first, for allowing us to come together. After thanking you for allowing us to come together, I personally ask you, God, to continue to bless my spiritual mother with enlightenment, with wisdom, to be able to guide and to lead the family down a path that is pleasing to you. I ask that you bless my angel sisters and all the people that are personally close to me to give them wisdom, protect their lives so that we may aid and assist one another and those individuals around. I ask that you bless everyone on this line and everyone that didn't listen now that may come back and listen to a record, that you allow them some type of insight and wisdom, that they will begin to gain mastery over their life, that they will begin to know you as the awesome ancient power energy that you are, that have empowered them to be in total control of their life when they submit to you. We ask that you give us health. We ask that you give us abundance and wealth. We ask that when we come across a stumbling block, that you give us the wisdom to know that this is not the end, the courage and the fortitude to continue, to be able to climb over, to go under, or go around this obstacle that threatens our relationship with you, dear Lord. Lord, we ask that you just come into our bodies and allow our actions to be the manifestation of all that is good, to call people to your glory and your praise, to your way, which is a way of peace. We ask for the absence of confusion in our life. We ask for the clarity of mind. We ask for precision of language, that our words are words of edification, that our words are words of growth, and our words of healing, that we stay away from words of degradation, destruction, and death. Lord, we just ask all of these good things from you because you have told us that we can have these things if we walk in your way, believe in you, and hold true to our end of the contract. We're presenting this before you boldly with all faith and trust that we know that your end of the contract will be held, and we're asking for the ultimate good of the universe, and in return, we will give you the best human experience possible. In your name and by your name and through your name, all these things are possible. Amen and Ashe.
Amen.